Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. This is the third of three conversations we're having on the topic Alexander Constructive Rest, Alexander Technique Constructive Rest, and how it can be used as a laboratory for exploring movement, directions, and up with gravity. We've done the first two interviews, and this is one where we're going to talk about using the constructive rest position as a platform for exploring movements. And the two basic kinds of movements that spring to mind for me anyway are moving arms, moving legs, moving your head, and or possibly speaking or singing. They all involve a movement. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be back, Robert.
And do you want to start by talking about your take on using constructive rest as a way of exploring, say, arm movements, to take an example?
Yeah, sure. Interestingly, arm movements is what I'll usually start with when exploring movement. First, I think it's really interesting to notice what adding a little bit of movement does. When we're really in this very sort of passive, non-doing, shall we say, state, that we're not doing very much at all, except just being there.
In a very specific configuration, we're typically lying on a firm surface, some support under the head and some support under the knees to elevate the knees a bit.
Or the knees are just just bending.
Elevated some one way or another. And we will have links to much more detail about that. We're not going to go into great detail in this podcast.
So if you want to explore something, you might want to start with just trying. So typically your arms will be bent at the elbows, and most people just rest their hands somewhere on their abdomen or on their ribs, or you maybe could have them kind of resting out wide. If you start exploring just lifting the lower arm in your hand, leaving your elbow resting on the ground, so your elbow and upper arm will still be resting, which will cause your whole back shoulders are resting and your head is resting on the books, and just explore just moving that arm around, that lower arm, moving the hand around. You can kind of circle it, you can rotate it, and see if you notice if other things want to come into play. Are you wanting to kind of start doing that movement with effort, maybe in the upper arm or the neck, or is it easy to just let that arm move? And I think for most people can let the elbow rest and start moving the arm and the hand, but it's quite different from how you might be moving it and using it in your daily life.
Right. You might notice that you have a tendency to tighten your neck a little bit just to move your arm, or you might notice some interesting things in your torso that might not seem to be really necessary for moving your forearm, but
notice what happens with your breathing.
Absolutely notice what happens with your breathing. And I would even suggest before moving a forearm or even an arm to, as you're lying in the constructive rest position, imagine that you're moving it.
Yeah, interesting. Sometimes I'll kind of frame it as that without actually doing it, you're sort of mentally making a decision to move it and see what that sort of brings up in your system. If you notice, muscles sort of trying to spring into gear or tightening, even though you're not actually doing anything yet.
Right, kind of fixing of your breathing, or even a stopping of your breathing, because I'm about to do this activity, and that's kind of an interesting thing to be aware of, because usually those add-ons are not very helpful, but they are habits that we've developed around movement, simple movements in this case, your forearm or your arm. Yeah. And the huge advantage of doing this when you're lying down is that your whole torso is supported by the surface, so you get very good feedback from parts of your torso that you may not have paid a lot of attention to before.
Absolutely, because you're really not doing anything else, and you've got that support underneath you. I think those two things make it very much easier to notice, to be aware of what's actually happening.
Right, your senses are not overwhelmed by larger movements or by perhaps the effort you're putting into standing up or sitting up. Here, all of those requirements, all of those demands are taken away. You're lying, doing nothing, really. So it's a lot easier to notice these little patterns that you might have developed around, in this case, arm movements. I would say, for example, I've done this. I've had a number of string players recently, and of course they're doing arm movements all the time, and often have developed some serious issues around that. And it's very interesting just to have a violinist say, "Imagine that they're going to start bowing," and I'll tell you that everything kicks in right away in most cases. All kinds of odd little movements, lifting of a shoulder, tensing, breathing, holding the breathing. And it's when you start to notice it in that setting, then it becomes a lot easier, of course, to notice it when you actually are playing.
Yeah.
But it also is a really great framework for exploring how to prevent those.
Yeah, and I'm just, I haven't done this with people, but it strikes me you could take that same principle to, well, doing anything, but I'm thinking particularly all the computer work that people do, maybe imagining you're clicking the mouse or typing on the keyboard or something like that.
Or even imagining that you're sitting in front of your computer about to use your keyboard and notice what happens to your neck. Mm-hmm. Could be quite intriguing, because a lot of people, the whole set of using a computer often involves a kind of reflexive pushing of their heads forward in space, or of course that's equivalent to a tightening of the back of their neck. And you might notice that as you lie on the table and think about sitting in front of a computer, you might catch that.
You might notice it.
That's what I meant by catch. You would notice it. And then that gives you a really nice framework within which to explore. You could even start with thinking about sitting in front of a computer or thinking about bowing your violin or whatever in the context of saying to yourself, I'm not compressing myself, or I'm not tensing my neck, or any one of a number of negative directions, or you could use regular Alexander directions too. So it's a wonderful way to explore the thought of movement
and then actually
simple movements.
Yes.
So lovely. For a violinist could get to the point where she, you know, go ahead and start moving your arm in a bowing motion, but be real interested in these other aspects. And if you notice the tensions coming in reflexively, just say no to them in some way. I'm not tensing my shoulders as I bow, or I'm not tensing my neck. And usually it's not that hard for people to notice that. And then, of course, you can take that right later on, right into working with a person could take this on their own into the actual activity. So
yeah,
that's,
I think you're getting some very good sort of knowledge about yourself. Maybe you hadn't realized when you bowed how much you kind of picked up your shoulder or tightened your neck or whatever it is you notice, you know. And I would have thought that would be just then really helpful as you transfer from constructive
absolutely.
Rest position to actually doing something. Yeah.
And you can do the same kind of experiments with moving your legs, say one leg or both legs, or imagine that you're walking and see what that imagining does to your neck, to your shoulders. And if you notice it seems to do something that's probably not that necessary or useful for walking, experiment with imagining walking and saying no to those and see what happens. And then maybe actually move a leg or both legs in that context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
absolutely.
Other place where it's just, I think we're lying down is really, really powerful in terms of exploring movements is speaking or singing. Because, you know, most people when they speak, and this goes back to old F. Matthias Alexander, mm-hmm. the developer of the work, tend to create extra tension in their necks when they say something, or even more so, in his case, when he was reciting, mm-hmm. it really came to a head. Or if he had been a singer, it might very well have come to a head in that context. So you could be lying on the table, on the floor or table in the constructive rest position. Your head's resting on a fairly firm surface, like a book typically, or a couple mm-hmm. of books. And just, I would start by exploring, just opening and closing your mouth and see if you notice that your head, the little bump on the back of your head that's resting on the book, starts to move in an untoward way. That's a pretty good indication that the idea even of opening your mouth carries with it a kind of an unconscious tightening of the muscles of the back of your head or pulling your head back.
Yeah, because really that's not necessary for speech. Maybe people don't know that.
It's not only not necessary.
Yeah. It's not useful.
It's not only not useful, it's actually quite harmful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could start with something as simple as that, or even thinking about opening your mouth and closing it, the way we talked about with arm movements or leg movements. And then you could explore some simple sounds, maybe humming or speaking, reciting some line that you remember, a string of words, and eventually take that into singing if you're a singer. But, you know, all of us speak as part of our lives, and many of us could speak a lot more effectively and more with less harm to ourselves if we could learn to do it without creating that extra tension. And the constructive rest position seems to me just the ideal place to explore that.
Yeah, it strikes me it's useful not only because you are lying down and you've got all that feedback about what's going on because of the surface you're lying on.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where I was going with this now, but also
your head is also resting on a firm surface.
Yes, yes.
So any tightening of your neck, you can directly sense by the movement of your head on the book.
I remember what I was going to say now, but also I think doing the act of speaking or singing in this unfamiliar position, shall we say, this unfamiliar environment, you totally change the sort of plane you're oriented in.
Mm-hmm.
I think is probably very useful in itself as well, because it takes you out of doing it in your familiar, habitual way.
Right. So there is going to be some carryover into actually standing up and singing, or actually moving your arms while you're standing or sitting or moving about. I was going to add something. Oh, in terms of exploring a simple movement like lifting an arm or opening your mouth or speaking or any of the kind of things we've talked about, it's very interesting to, when you either think about it or actually do the movement, to compare what happens when you just think about it or just do it compared to starting with an intent like, I'm not tensing myself or I'm not tensing my neck as you think about it or do it. And often you'll notice quite a difference. So you could say with the arm movement, you could say, well, I'm going to lift a forearm or lift my whole arm and put it back down again. And now I'm going to start by saying I'm not compressing myself as I lift my arm and put it down again, and see if you notice a difference. Mm-hmm. And with a little practice, you're almost certainly going to notice a difference. And in the same way with opening and closing your mouth or singing or speaking, you could do a couple of words or a verse or a line of a song just singing or thinking about singing it, and then the second verse, your background intention is, could be, I'm not tightening my neck as I do this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Often you will hear a difference, pretty dramatic difference. Often you will sense that there's less work that you're doing to produce that sound. You may be producing a fuller sound with less work, which is always a mm-hmm. good deal for anyone.
Yes. So, no, I think it's just a superb place to experiment with all sorts of things.
And you could experiment with the up with gravity process that we talked about in the second of our interviews. That is the gentle lifting of your center of gravity and then perhaps overlapping it with I'm not compressing myself to speak or sing or move an arm. So there are all of those possibilities that are there within this basic classic Alexander technique procedure, if you like, constructive rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we come to an end?
Yeah, not really, but I just think anyone can just start experimenting with noticing stuff. I mean,
that's the
place to start, and then adding a little bit of trying out some of these different ways of thinking.
Yeah, and I suppose we should probably say, if you do some experimenting and you have questions about what's going on or you'd like a little guidance, it certainly wouldn't hurt to
have a
lesson or two or more with an Alexander technique teacher, if there is one in your area. But I don't think that that's, strictly speaking, absolutely necessary. A lot of people have achieved a tremendous amount just by these kind of experiments that are all really and ultimately inspired by F. Matthias Alexander, the developer of the Alexander technique. But certainly having a few lessons with a teacher can save you a lot of time. So
it's certainly very helpful, but by no means does it not mean that you won't discover things and on your own.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to add?
Give constructive rest a try.
Absolutely.
That's my parting advice.
Absolutely.
It's the best thing you can do for yourself.
And we'll have links next to this interview, as with the two previous ones. We'll have a link to a page that has a lot of information about constructive rest, including pictures, written descriptions, videos, audio conversations. So everything you ever wanted to know about constructive rest, you can find there. We'll put also a link to a page that'll talk a bit about negative directions, which we've touched on today, and we'll also put a link to information about Up with Gravity, which we didn't talk about too much in this interview, but which is for which constructive rest is a wonderful tool to explore as well. So that's where we'll end this third and final conversation of our series on constructive rest as a lab. My guest today has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. She's also a website designer. And Imogen, thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. It was great to be here.